Yeah. Anyone want to shout out or tell me what country you went to?
Someone put their hand up there? Yeah.
Portugal? Someone else did Portugal? Yeah. Portugal as well. Another
France.
Oh, France. Very good. Yeah.
Australia.
Croatia? Yeah.
Indonesia?
Okay, getting further away.
Ireland.
Ireland, right.
Cyprus.
America.
Mexico.
Mexico. Sweden.
Sweden.
Malta, yeah, okay. Iceland, right, okay, very nice.
Iceland.
Austria.
England.
England. Me too, yeah. I say that. So, now when we go on holiday, especially to a new country overseas, we've probably seen adverts on TV showing us what an amazing country it is to visit. And no matter where it is, there are two things that always look really good in those adverts. Two things. The first one is lovely weather. Lovely weather, okay. And the second one is really lovely food. Okay. Now, you never see a holiday advert with grey clouds and rain like this, do you? Or with people just eating a cheese sandwich without even any pickle in it. Okay. So there's two things we most want as part of our holiday. If the weather and the food are good, then we feel that's a basis for a good holiday. Not much else can go wrong. Now today, we're going to look at a time when not just a family, but a very large group of people were setting off to a new country, but it wasn't just for a holiday. They were going to go and live there. And we can read all about them in the Bible. And Dominic is just going to come and tell us who they were, what life was like for them, and why they were going to make this journey. And then you'll get me back. So over to Dominic for a few moments. Thank you.
Just take the next question for me there, Howard. Thank you. Now, who is very brave and is going to read that long word for me? Oh, look at those hands. I'm going to give it to Rory and Jaden. So, Rory?
Israelite.
What are you going
to
say, Jaden?
Israelite.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Unmute. Jonathan wishes I could have
that function in real life, you know. The Israelites. Now, they were in a land called... Where do you think that could be? Anybody else? Shefa, yeah. With the pyramids, place of Egypt. That's right. Kai, were you going to say Egypt as well? No, that's okay. It was Egypt. Yeah. So they were in Egypt. They'd been there for 400 years. And there was a lot of them. From my sources of extensive Bible study, I read there were five people there. No, wait a minute. I think I've got more sheets of paper. Mark, could you come and stand and hold that up for me? No. There were 50 people there. Is that... No? No. Sam, could you come and hold this up for me? Thank you. I knew you shouldn't... Yes, absolutely. Is that better? 500? Jess, could you come and hold that one up for me, please? Okay. Oh, yeah, you can hold that one up as well. It's the same thing. There we go. 5,000. Is that nearer the number?
No.
No. So, do you want to stay sat there or do you want to come up? You're going to come up? Are you sure?
You can see it working down the line. You're working down the line.
You're right there. Thank you, Sue. It's always an issue. That's why I always sit in the front row. So now I've got how much is that? Yeah, Amari. 50,000, is that right? Yes, that's right. Well done. Do we think that's too few as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Amari, come on up and hold this one for me. Please, thank you so much. Here you go. Is that better? 5. Well, actually, this is nearer the number that there were in Egypt of Israelites. 100,000. Jill, where's Jill? Can I see Jill somewhere? I can't see Jill. Oh, you're in the kitchen. I wonder if she's preparing for 500,000 baked potatoes. Can you imagine that? 500,000 people in Egypt. But do you know, do you think they were happy in Egypt?
No.
No. Do you know why they weren't happy in Egypt? Do you want the microphone? You go for it, Amari. That's spot on. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. So do you think they were happy? No. No. So they were slaves in Egypt for 500 years. So that's where we meet these Israelites in Egypt as slaves. 500,000. Thank you. Right. I'll get your sheets and I'll pop you back to Howard. Thank you.
Thank you, Dominic. So, now, God really loved his people, and the Bible tells us that he heard their cries. I've heard them crying out. And that might be something for us, that if there's something you're very sad or worried about, if you cry to God, be assured that he can hear you. Okay, so God heard their cries, and so he decided that it was time to rescue them from being in Egypt, to rescue them, and then to give them their own new land. Okay, so that was the plan. And it would be a land where they could be free just to enjoy the good land, but also free to love and worship God. Now, for us, we come to Sunday club or to church every week. Nothing stops or hinders us. They couldn't even do that. So they were going to go to this new land. But do you know, the most important thing that matters to God isn't whether we have a lot of nice things or very little. It isn't where you live. It isn't the school you go to or the place you work in. The most important thing to God is the relationship he has with you. In other words, we might think of it as being friends with God. Now, that's an amazing and wonderful thing for all of us to be aware of, that we can be friends with God. That God isn't just about power and no feelings, but he actually wants all of us, no matter how young or old you are, to be like his friends. Now, I'm sure in Sunday club, and I'm sure some of the adults too, will know that the person who led the people out of Egypt was called, any idea? Anyone? Yes. And he was very brave and very obedient to God. And the Bible often describes people like him and Abraham as being like friends of God, not just servant of God or warrior for God, but friends of God. And something really important for us to learn from knowing that God is concerned about us being friends with him is that, just like any friendship, the things that make God sad, there are things that make God sad and there's things that make him happy. Did you realise that? That God actually has feelings. We can make him sad or we can make him happy. It really matters to God the things we say and do. Now, when they came out of Egypt, these people, there's 500,000, remember, they did some things that made God very sad. It's sad, isn't it? Now, can you think of some things that make God sad that we do? You can call, and see if you've got them on my cards. Any ideas? What do you can say, Ruby? Fighting. Now, let me see. Yeah, got fighting. Ah, yes. That's. I haven't got that, but what I have got, and I'll use this, is using idols. You know, thinking about, you know, they were thinking about worshipping other than God. Other things. Any others you think of? Lying. Is that, what was that?
Lying.
Yeah, lying. That upsets God, doesn't it? Any others?
Stealing.
Come back, yeah.
Stealing.
Stealing. Good one. I didn't get that one. Good one, though. I did get greedy, though, so maybe that's what makes people steal. Stealing. Didn't get that one. Any others? Grumbling's good. We'll come back. Yeah. That's a good one. And yeah. Stefan? Okay, never mind. Not sure? Adultery, yeah. I didn't write that one down, but yeah. But you're absolutely right. So, relationships in the wrong way, we could might say, to put that in today. But yes, adultery is this one. I'll show you some others I had. They're teasing, just teasing people. That makes God sad. Being jealous. Why? Being jealous. Just hating, being hateful, being horrible to people. But thanks Roger called out grumbling. Now, all those things are bad, and they do upset God. But actually, I think you said grumbling, but I've got complaining. Now, would you believe that was probably one of the worst things? We might think that fighting and hating and teasing and lying and all those things are the obvious ones that God hates. But complaining was actually the thing that gave the people most problems, caused them most harm, and actually made God very angry. Okay, complaining. So just think about that for a moment. Now, so why is complaining so bad? Why is it so bad? Well, let's think about that. Suppose one of you want to do something really special for a friend, and it's their birthday coming up, and so you know, I know, I'll arrange a special birthday party for them. Okay, so you're going to go to a lot of trouble. What sort of things would you have at a nice birthday party?
Cake.
Yeah, cake. You can say?
A big party bag, and hopefully we'll add real things to it.
You've obviously been disappointed. Yeah? So, a nice party bag to take away. What else would you have at the party?
Presents,
yeah. I didn't bring any presents. What else? Balloons. Yeah. And you might even blow them up. Yeah. So, any others? Anything else?
Party games.
Okay, great. I'll let you do that one. I haven't got that, yeah. Anything else? Party hats, okay. I think I'll stick to my bag now.
Music.
You might stick up some nice banners, decorations. The one I'm amazed you didn't say is some nice food. And these are the children's ones. So pizza. So anyway, you go to all this trouble to do this nice party and you get some nice food and presents and decorations and you get a cake made. But then suppose your friend, they turn up really late and they say, I'd really rather be somewhere else. They moan about everything. They say they don't like the food. They don't like decorations. They don't enjoy cake. They don't really like the presents you gave them. So you've done all that trouble. How do they feel? How would you feel? How would you feel?
Annoyed.
Yeah.
Angry.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah. I think you'd be very upset. Yeah. So, no, you'd feel really upset, wouldn't you? So let's think about the things that God did for his people. He didn't just arrange a party, but these are the things he did. He rescued them from slavery, like we've heard. That's a massive thing, isn't it? Imagine being slaves, you know, where you're not free at all and you have to work hard and you're beaten like this. He rescued them from slavery. Remember, Moses parted the Red Sea so that they could escape from their enemies and not be hurt. And, you know, they were in this wandering for 40 years, and the Bible says they lacked nothing. He provided everything for them. He gave them everything they needed. And at the end of it, he promised them what we call the promised land, a beautiful land to live in. So he did all this for them, but they complained. Okay? Now, do you know what the main thing they complained about was? Anyone know? That's right. Yeah, food. It was the food. Yeah, that's right. They complained about the food, and they started saying things like, "We were better off in Egypt." So God has rescued them, protected them from their enemies, and all that. And so we were better off in Egypt, which they weren't. Now today we're celebrating harvest, and that's when we're being thankful. It's not complaining, but thankful for our food. Okay. Now, I did a little search on the internet, and I read this. The average person complains about something 15 to 30 times a day. Now, looking around you this morning, you don't really look like the sort of people that complain. But what? You got any ideas? What sort of things do people complain about on a daily basis? Well, you got the one. You got straight to the punchline. Yeah, but now, just a little thought. There's something the Bible tells us about the Promised Land. You can read it in Deuteronomy 11:11. So that's easy to remember. And it says this. It says, the land drinks rain from heaven. So it's telling us that even rain is a gift of God to be thankful for. They always sometimes say, what a miserable day, what a horrible day. I think it's just a thought to think that all weather is a blessing. I've said that to some of you before. So we complain about the weather, don't we? But actually, that's a gift from God. It drinks rain from heaven. Maybe that makes us feel better on a wet day. Now, sometimes it is right to tell others and to tell God about things that are hard for you, that you're worried about. Remember, God heard the cries of his people in Israel, didn't he? So they weren't sort of complaining so much as saying, this is really hard, God. And he listened. But this time it was different. They were just being ungrateful and complaining. And if you read some of what happened to the people when they complained, you'll realise it was a very serious thing. I'll let you find it out. Now, another thought is, very sadly, the complaining made it hard for God to bless them. And you know, most of those people, remember how many there were? 500,000. Nearly all of them didn't actually make it to the Promised Land. And it wasn't just because of the lying and the other things. It was because they complained. So if you complain, it was hard for God to bless them. It's hard to do nice things for someone who just moans and is ungrateful all the time, isn't it? So just thinking about being thankful. So why? Why is it important to be thankful to God? Well, we might think that all our food comes from the supermarket, or it's brought to us. But, you know, it's important to remember that the Bible explains that God made the world and everything in it. And when he made it, there's a promise, which we often remember at harvest time, and it's right to. God made this promise. He said, as long as the earth endures, or as long as the earth lasts, there'll be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night. Now, a lot of people in the world are worried now, today, about the world and about the world changing. Okay, they're very concerned about it. And it is concerning. But remember, the most important thing to worry about, to be concerned about, is your relationship or your friendship with God. He wants us to trust him and not be afraid, even of the massive things like that. Now, Jesus also taught us, when Jesus came to us, he said, don't worry about your life, your food that you eat, or the clothes you'll wear, but be concerned first with the kingdom of God, which is a way of saying, be concerned first with knowing God's love for you and being his friend, about finding out how God wants you, the sort of person God wants you to be. So don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Worry about finding God in your life. People tend to worry about the things they need, but God is concerned more that you find his love and his care for you. Now, to finish, there's another verse in the Bible which says this: give thanks in all circumstances. That means at any time. Now, I've got to tell you this before I leave. There was another occasion in the Bible when a lot of people, it's another very large group of people, were very hungry. Okay, and in fact, there were more than 5,000 people. They were really hungry. And there was no food for them, except one small boy had his lunch, had his some food. Anyone remember Rory's, do you remember?
Yeah.
What?
That's right.
That's right. But how? What did the boy have? What did the little boy have? Oh, I think you're right. Yeah. That's one, two, three, four, five. and two fish. That's all he had. Five loaves and two fish. You're absolutely right. And you know that story too, don't you? Now, the disciples, Jesus' disciples, were really worrying. They could not see how it was possible to feed these people. They were worrying about food. So Jesus was facing this really difficult situation. He had over 5,000 people, and there was hardly any food there, just five loaves and two fish. So how was he going to feed them all? Now, but Jesus knew that his Father in heaven, that's God in heaven, would provide all he needed. And he knew it was right to be thankful in all circumstances. Imagine being in that situation. There's hardly any food, 5,000 people, there's all this. And he thinks, I've got to be thankful in all circumstances. And it says, what he did was, he took the fish and the loaves, and it says this, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. Now, who was he talking to when he looked up to heaven? He was talking to God, yes. He looked up to heaven and looked to God. So what we see here is that Jesus didn't complain. He didn't say, why have I got this big problem? Why did you put me here, God? Why have you put all these people in front of me? He didn't say, it's not my fault. He trusted God and he just gave thanks. Okay. Now, here's an interesting thought. He gave thanks before there was enough to eat. Okay? Gave thanks before there was enough to eat. So if there was any occasion when you might complain, it was that one. But he didn't. He was thankful. He gave thanks before there was enough to eat. So. Now, so at this harvest time, let's make sure that we're not complaining people, but that we're very thankful. And may we actually be more concerned with our friendship with God and just trust him for all the other things that we need. Now we're going to sing now, and then just so you know what's going to happen, Dominic's going to come up after me, and then two friends from the church are going to come and bring a prayer, a young person and an older person, okay? So we're going to have a song, then Dominic, and then two friends, and then we'll have another song. So I'll hand over to Jez and the team. Thank you.